Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here with me for a Thursday, August 11th, 2022. This is edition number 36 of season 5 of the Morning Devotional. We are working our way through the book of Genesis. We come to chapter 36 this morning, and there we will consider the descendants of Esau and matters that come out of this chapter, which may seem very plain, difficult, one big list of genealogies, more or less, but Lord willing, we'll see some very important things here in this chapter. Let's pray first, and then we'll consider this together this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we come asking that you would help us, that you would be gracious to us. You have penned these things, even this chapter, full of names that are difficult for us to pronounce even. And we often wonder why you have included these things in the narrative, but you've given it to us as a light to our path. We know that all scripture is breathed out by you and is profitable for us, that it will equip us and help us, that we might be ready to do every good work. And so we pray that you would guide us even this morning as we consider this chapter, that you would help us by your Spirit. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, Genesis 36, as you can see, as you have had occasion to read through it, is a list of names, very little information here and there scattered throughout the chapter, but we basically have the descendants of Esau. We have a long list of names. Many of them are probably difficult for you to pronounce. I confess that they are also for me, and so with that said, that doesn't mean that it's not profitable for us in some respect. We know the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3 has told us that all Scripture is breathed out by God. These things are profitable for us, and so we need to think through them and seek to apply these matters to our own lives. And so I've highlighted for us just two items for us to consider in this chapter. The first is that we are dealing, of course, with the line of Esau. Now, this is contrasted, of course, with the line of Jacob. We are dealing with now the seed of the serpent. We're dealing with the line that seeks to destroy the covenant line, the promised line of which the Messiah would come. And here we have three specific references given to us in this chapter that highlight this very plainly for us. We note the first one there in verse 8, "So Esau settled in the hill country of Seir." And then in parentheses, of course, that is not in the original Hebrew, but it is, as it were, almost an afterthought, but it's an important one. Esau is Edom. And then we jump down to verse 19. These are the sons of Esau, that is Edom. And then we jump down to verse 43, Magdiel and Aram. These are the chiefs of Edom, that is Esau, the father of Edom. So the narrator is drawing our attention to the fact that Esau is connected to this people group, which we call Edom, and which is called Edom. And Edom has become, as time goes forward, they will become a very bitter rival of the covenant people. Taking some information from one Bible dictionary that I happen to pull off of my shelf, just to give you some facts about them. First is that the Israelites regarded the Edomites as close relatives, even more closely related to them than the Ammonites or Moabites. Specifically, they identified the Ammonites and Moabites as descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew, but the Edomites as descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. Thus, Edom occasionally is referred to as a brother to Israel. Edomites seem not to have been barred from worship in the Jerusalem temple with the same strictness as the Ammonites and Moabites. Yet, as is often the case with personal relations, the closest relative can be a bitter enemy. According to the biblical writers, enmity between Israel and Edom began already with Jacob and Esau when the former stole the latter's birthright, and was exacerbated at the time of the Israelite exodus from Egypt, when the Edomites refused the Israelites passage through their land. Be that as it may, much of the conflict also had to do with the fact that Edom was a constant threat to Judah's frontier and moreover blocked Judean access to the Gulf of Aqaba. And so there we note, at least in one scholar's opinion, some of the issues that that the covenant line faced with these people. He goes on to say, both Saul and David conducted warfare with the Edomites, probably frontier wars fought in the wilderness area southwest of the Dead Sea. David achieved a decisive victory in the Valley of Salt, probably just southwest of Beersheba, where the ancient name still is preserved in the modern Arabic. Apparently, this secured Davidic control of the Edomite area west of the Araba, as well as access to the Gulf of Aqaba. And so there was constant conflict, and he goes on to even mention more, conflict between Judah and Edom and efforts on the part of Judean kings to exploit the commercial possibilities of the Gulf of Aqaba continued until eventually the Edomites, like the other peoples and petty kingdoms of Syria, Palestine, fell under the shadow of the major eastern empires, the Assyrians, then the Babylonians, finally the Persians and the Greeks. And so all of this factual information, I don't mean to bore you with these things, but it's important to see that the narrator highlights three times in this chapter that these are the Edomites, these are the people that will become bitter rivals and bring hardship against the covenant line as promised by God. The other aspect of this chapter is one that I'm thankful that I was able to hear expounded upon in a sermon not too many weeks ago by a friend of mine, a man I went to school with, where he used this chapter to highlight the descent into apostasy. And primarily what I want to highlight for us is that the main issue is that Esau allowed himself and took wives from the Canaanites. We see that right there in verse 1. And this led him and caused him to reject the covenant sign that he received as a child, to reject the God of Israel, and to turn away from all that is good and righteous and holy. Now, later in the New Testament, we know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. We also know from the Old Testament that as the people of God took the land, they were to drive out all of these people, that they might not intermingle with them, that they might not be influenced by them and lead them away from serving the living and true God. Esau failed to heed the instruction of his parents. He deliberately took wives that would bring harm, shame, and hardship to his parents. And in that, we learn that we must, as Christians in this world, we must be on our guard for the things of this world that are attractive, may, in fact, because of the nature of those things, lure us away, turn us away from the living and true God. It is the way in which we descend into apostasy. It's a way in which declension comes into the heart and minds of God's people. We must watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. We must be very careful about the friends that we keep and the things that we watch and the things that we listen to and the books we read and a host of other things. And I'm certainly not going to make rules for you. But we must recognize that those kinds of influences tend to turn us away from the truth, from our God and our Savior. You know the expression, one bad apple ruins the whole bunch. The Apostle Paul said bad communications or bad morals corrupts good ones. It's usually that way. Esau fell prey to these things. We note that also in the life of Solomon, the wisest man in the world, took to himself concubine upon concubine, wife upon wife, and it turned his heart away from the living and true God. And so we must be very careful about the things that we allow ourselves to be attracted to, where we place our affections, we place our hope. We must maintain our integrity, walk in the ways of the Lord, and avoid these things that might turn us away from the living and true God. So two issues, of course. One, the factual issue surrounding Edom. But more practically, the descent into apostasy that's real, that this chapter warns us about, and if we heed it and follow the instructions of the Word of God, we can avoid these pitfalls. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note, The way to reach me or contact me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Friday edition, when we consider Genesis chapter 37 and we begin to consider the life of Joseph, may the Lord bless you today. May you seek him. God bless.